Hey there, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm feeling good, actually. Feeling kind of relaxed and, like, not so stressed for time as I normally feel like I am, and, you know, feel like I'm getting some good thinking done about a lot of things. I've put a lot of thought into, say, my book and how I wish to deliver it in a digital form, and I'm not going to get into the details now because they're top secret. But
that is awesome.
Oh, thank you. I've really been doing some deep thinking about that, and been doing some deep thinking on a lot of subjects that are going into the book, and doing a fair amount of reading that I don't normally get to do, or I should say normally make the time to do. So I'm doing very good. And I think a lot of that has to do with my break that I'm taking from social networks for the week, at least.
So quantify this with where we are in the timeline of this happening, like right as of this recording right now.
Yes, because we pre-record these shows and they are released later. As of right now, it is Tuesday, and I started this, my last tweet would have been Sunday at about 11:40-something, not including the Keeping It Straight promo tweet that I was contractually obligated to do on Monday morning.
And that came either... Well, you weren't paying any attention when it was tweeted.
No. I just did that from Birdhouse. I had that pre-written in Birdhouse, and I just went boom. So sometime in the morning, I remember that 8, 9 o'clock that I opened it up and said, "Oh, let me hit send on this." That's right, gotta send this.
So why?
A host of reasons. Number one, I believe that taking time off from things is a good way to evaluate their meaning and their place in your life. Right? It's the absence makes the heart grow fonder sort of rule. And that the converse of that is true as well. You may find that absence makes you aware that you really don't miss it that much, right? Or you may find that oh my gosh, I really I miss that, and it really was providing a level of value to me that I'm no longer receiving. In my case, there have been times when I felt a little bit, quote unquote, out of the loop. I mean, even with my own wife, my wife tweeted something about the Quickster thing, Quickster Netflix thing. And she was like, she started a conversation based upon the thought that I had seen that. And I had to remind her, no, I hadn't seen that. even communication with the person I love and live with has suffered a little bit from it.
Yeah.
And that's, one might say, well, that's a sad state of affairs, if you guys aren't, but it's not that. It's, we both work for ourselves. We both have very busy lives, very interesting lives. And a lot of times it's kind of how I know how her day is going. It's kind of how she knows how my day is going, even though we're both running about.
I don't think that's so rare anymore. No. I don't think that you're definitely not alone. because it's the same with me and Sammy, I guess.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah.
So
that's one reason. Another reason is that I stated this in the post I did about it. I'm becoming a little bit uncomfortable with kind of the advertising that's either going on or is about to go on. And I have to reiterate once again, I have no problem with advertising. When it's done well, it's excellent. I can't tell you how many times I click on the Fusion ad at the top of my page because, you know, it's like, oh, there's something that looks interesting that I haven't heard of before and is relevant to my site, but I haven't heard of it. I need to go look at this. Click. And there have been many times when, you know, so when advertising is done well, it's a great thing, and it's a useful thing, and it connects you to things that you might otherwise have never heard about. But I think when it's done too well, like is about to go on for Twitter, and in a way goes on right now for Facebook, in a way it does go on for Facebook, it feels a little bit creepy.
What is creepy? What about what either you know or think or amalgamation of the both of what's coming to Twitter is creeping you out?
I guess it is the listening in on at a very personal level and delivering ads at that very personal level.
Okay, so I knew you were going to say that. And I already had, I mean, this is very, very rarely will I do this, but when I read Pat's post, I don't know if I'd say disagreed, but I have some questions for you, which I've actually wrote down because I knew I wanted to get them. So, you're a Gmail user?
Increasingly less, but yes.
Right.
So I mean,
you already know what my question is, don't you?
Well, hold on. I should say, one of the reasons why I don't use Gmail is that.
Wait,
hold on. And the reasons that I use it, the main thing I use it for, is bacon.
What? What lies in the meat? I can't tell you that I understand what you're saying.
Bacon is one of those geeky internet terms that is the midpoint between real conversations and spam. Newsletter sign-ups, receipts, things like that. For a time, I started to use it for like my minimal Mac communications, and then determined shortly thereafter that was the wrong thing to do because I was missing a lot because I'm just not trained and just not attuned to check two inboxes. And I have never hooked up Gmail, nor will I ever hook up Gmail to my, you know, to Mac OS X Mail, my preferred mail client. I only look at it in the browser. And the reason I never would is because the whole reason that I use it for that bacon is that I don't want to see that stuff necessarily, you know, that I want to be able to just log in and see it when I feel like it and not have to worry about it.
Do you have, like, any of your primary accounts go through Gmail?
No.
No, you don't? Okay. But
no.
In respect to that, I mean, there are things that you're choosing. There are newsletters, etc. you are choosing to go to you. So Google is picking up this information from you, the same as in the idea that you use Google Plus?
Yes.
So regardless of any search, I assume using Google. So the fact that you do these things will say that Google was building up a definite profile on you, and we know that that's what Google does. We know.
Oh, yeah, they're upfront about it. Exactly.
Would you quit? So let's say, for example, that the result of this week is that you actually are going to quit Twitter because you feel that the service maybe isn't necessary for you anymore, so as soon as they bring in the advertising, you would be happy to leave. Would you leave Google services?
That would certainly be a philosophical decision that would affect all of these services, yes.
So I just want to see if I... Because I feel like you're... I don't know if you're intentionally not answering. So what if you quit Twitter, will you stop searching with Google?
Yes.
Okay, that's a pretty big statement to make.
DuckDuckGo is a good alternative.
It's still a very, that's a very big statement. That's a big statement to make.
Oh, I know.
Okay, I know. All right.
Well, and you know, here's the thing, right? I don't know the answers to these questions.
No, of course you don't.
And the reason that I don't know the answers to these questions is... That's the reason, you know, is the reason why I'm doing this, right? To try to help me evaluate these ideas and these services and what level of comfort I'm at with them and what level of, you know, that maybe, because it isn't an either or sort of deal, right? Maybe I'm comfortable with the level of idea of Google is tracking the things that I search. But I'm not comfortable with the idea of Google is listening into my private email or social networking conversations.
Right, okay.
You know, and that maybe that's my dividing line, right? Enough is a balancing act, as I've said before. The idea of enough is finding that sweet spot that works for you. And that's going to be different than the sweet spot that works for everybody else. And that oftentimes you can't know what that sweet spot is if you're sitting in the middle of, you know, that you have to take it to extremes, right? You have to either, you know, you have to go all in on social networking and then go all out on social networking to find where that balance is that you're most comfortable with. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now is trying to discern where that line is, because it's so hard for me to see when I'm in the middle of it.
I agree with what you're saying. It makes sense why you do it, but I have another couple of points, which it's not me discounting the fact that you're saying that, because I understand that the reason you've completely got rid of it is so you can take the best of both worlds. But there are still some philosophical arguments into why I want to ask you as to why you've chosen to make this decision.
Okay.
In the post, you talk about how you are uncomfortable with the idea of putting words in the world which disappear, which could be better served to be in something which you could put together. You don't say it, but something you could sell. That's not what I'm saying you're trying to say, but that's what I'm saying. It's something you could put in a book to sell, as opposed to giving out your knowledge and your musings willy-nilly. So I think, personally, there is a lot of value to anything that you put on Twitter. Even though they are, like, in inverted commas, these words are lost, they are allowing you to build a brand and an audience that you may have not been able to get without it.
No question whatsoever. You are absolutely right.
So what is your...
I love that aspect of it, too. I mean, not only that, but let's just even... Forget the brand, forget the audience, because, quite frankly, those things come with just being out there and being genuine and having something to say, right? Mm-hmm. Whether people agree with it or not. It doesn't, you know... What's most important is the friendships I built. And I would not even be here talking if it were not for Twitter.
My heavyweight point, if you didn't bring to it. Because I was going to say that, I mean, it's stupid, but whatever, it's all emotion.
No, it's true.
In a way, like, you poo-pooing Twitter like that, whether intentional or not, but the way that I read it, it sort of, to me, was a... I was like, you know, because we wouldn't be doing this right now if you weren't a Twitter user.
Right.
And so would you be willing then to forego any future relationships like this?
I don't know that I would. I kind of agree with Aaron Mankey wrote a, you know, kind of a great post that was someone else countered it with another, and he came basically the idea being that I think what it was, like, Ben Brooks had written something about, you know, following does not equal friendship, and that.
Yeah, and he'd written it on something somebody else had said.
Right, exactly. And Aaron Mankey came back and said, well, no, that's not actually the case. You know, that I disagree, and I think that it really does matter, and here's why. And I came back at Aaron with the point that, well, while that certainly was, you know, the Twitter was the birth of the relationship, that doesn't mean that it can't continue on somewhere else. And, you know, one example that we brought up is our friend Ian, Ian Hines, who, for, you know, many reasons, most of them unbeknownst to me, had to shut down his Twitter account.
Chose to.
And, you know, even Aaron said, yeah, Ian and I talk even more now than we did when he was on Twitter, but we're just doing it elsewhere. We're doing it in iChat and such like that. So, and which is great, and that's fantastic. I guess the general point being is that Twitter isn't the only way we can have these conversations. It's a useful one. It's a good one, and it's one that provides, is more of a shotgun than a bullet, right? You know, you can hit a lot more people, and you can open yourself up to a lot more of those opportunities just simply because that's, you know, where everyone is, right? Mm. And because of the way that it's designed, right? That you couldn't do the same thing with iChat, for instance, right? But now that you and I have made that connection, you and I could have just as robust a relationship through a myriad of other tools, email, Skype, iChat, you name it, because we've already, you know, our friendship, our connection is already established.
Yeah.
So to say that you know, have to have Twitter in order to maintain those things, I think is, well, I think that's a lot of what they hope people will think, you know, but that it's not necessarily true. Now, I want to get back to something.
Okay.
And that is, I really tried to avoid and didn't want it to come off as I was poo-pooing Twitter. I think Twitter is an excellent tool. I think that they have to, you know, that it's one that I certainly have relied on, that I wouldn't have, I wouldn't be doing what I'm able to do today without Twitter. Twitter, I will, you know, honestly credit with at least the tool that was responsible for a lot of my, what I consider successes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last thing I want to do is poo-poo it. What I want to do is I want to find if, A, there's a way I could be using it better. If, B, there is a way that I could be using it that would help preserve some of those ideas that I come up with and I share that, in hindsight, I think, wow, that would have, I, you know, expanding on that, that could be, well, and, you know, some of these things I have captured and expanded on and are now chapters in the book I'm working on. So just as an example. So, you know, so is there a way that I can do a better job of capturing all that stuff? I already do some of it. For instance, like I said, I use a Pinboard, antisocial, as they call it themselves, bookmarking tool to capture all of the links I post to Twitter. So anything I post to Twitter that contains a link gets captured to Pinboard along with the tweet in the comments field, which, I mean, which is great. That way I'm not losing all of this stuff I'm linking to, and it makes it very easy for me to go back and find things. And another kind of useful feature of that preference setting in Pinboard is that any hashtags that are included in that tweet then become part of, you know, become a tag in Pinboard. So it basically tags that item with the hashtag. It removes the hash and gives you the rest of the tag. So I can, you know, if I'm linking to something that's related to, say, a conference I'm at or something like that, I can very easily search for it and find it.
And you can use ift for these sort of...
Oh, yeah.
And that's
yeah,
what I've decided I will pronounce it as ift.
Ift. Yeah. that's great, actually. I like that. But it's if this, then that, right? But, yeah, another great service that I think I've mentioned elsewhere. But basically, you can set up these triggers to say, you know, if I tweet something with this hashtag, then do this with it, sort of thing. All sorts of interesting actions like that you can set up. The possibilities seem practically limitless. I mean, there's all sorts of ways I could be capturing this stuff that I'm not. I talked a while ago about my idea for a personal RSS feed, you know, that like instead of a centralized service for this stuff, that everyone would have a personal RSS feed, and instead of, you know, friending or following somebody through a centralized service, you would actually, you know, follow their personal RSS feed, and they could put status updates and share files and do all sorts of things through this RSS feed that, you know, and that it would be personal and they could control access to, and you'd set it up on a server like you would WordPress, you know, and if you wanted it hosted, you could do that, but, you know, that there would always be this kind of open source option to, like, download the .org version and install it on your own server and do whatever you needed to with it, you know, that I really do foresee something like that. But I started thinking to myself, well, why can't someone just set up WordPress, you know, protect it, privatize it, and then just give people that feed? Give people that RSS feed and use a plugin to say, okay, I want to update Twitter with anything I, you know, I quote-unquote blog about, you know, or link to, or, you know, use custom post types. You know what I'm saying, right? Like,
yeah.
you could do this with a tool that already exists if you just set it up the right way. And so that's another thing I'm investigating in this time away. I've set up a, you know, a private WordPress that I've been kind of hacking away at, or private WordPress install that I've been hacking away at, and have installed some, you know, Twitter and Facebook plugins and Google Plus plugins to be able to, say, update those from, you know, so if I post a link, it will, you know, I can say, I want to update Twitter with this, I want to update Facebook with this link, and boom. And that way I kind of retain ownership on that stuff, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for me to go back and find later. That sort of thing. I can tag it and categorize it and things like that to make it easier for me to slice and dice and find later. So, you know, and of course there's tons of tools that allow you to, you know, post updates places and whatnot without actually using the service itself, you know. Now, unfortunately, having conversations around those things you have to do on the service, right? There's not really any other way. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what the future holds? So I guess my point is that do I think I will completely stop using Twitter or Facebook or Google Plus or any of these things? I don't use Facebook much to begin with, so,
no.
You know, there's that. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
I'm not poo-pooing these things. I'm not saying they're bad. I give them a lot of credit, Twitter especially, for many of my friendships and relationships I have now. The last thing I want to do is poo-poo it. What I want to do is the same thing I want to do with any tool I use, and that is evaluate how I'm using it, decide if I can use it better, and then move forward with that intention.
Okay.
It really is as simple as that. And I think that the best way to make such evaluations is to step back. In the same way, if you hit your finger with a hammer repeatedly, there's obviously something that you're doing wrong with the hammer. It's best to take a step back and to look and say, is this the right hammer? Am I holding it correctly? Am I swinging it, in the way in which I should? Could I better position the nail? Should I move my fingers a little bit lower on the base of the nail? You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
But you take a step back and you look at all of the steps and you look at all of the value that you're getting from it and you say, is this working for me? Is this enough? Or could I be doing it better? Could I be doing it more? Could I be doing it less?
I think that there's definitely something in there. I think that the things that you're saying about how you're looking at rethinking the way that you're doing things, as I said to you before, I agree with it. I understand what you're trying to do. But I just think, I don't know, I'm such a fan of the service. And which is what I don't think I would be, I would not, I'm sure I would be able to, but wouldn't want to give it up. I'm interested to see what the result of this will be. I think that you I think you should stay on the service personally. I think it would be peculiar to leave, but that's your choice at the end of the day.
Yeah. I will say right now, up front, only 2 days in, I won't leave.
But you may restrict what you
I won't leave. I definitely will change. How I will change, I don't know. I don't know yet, but I will change.
Okay.
I will change, even if that change is to say, you know what, I'm not doing it enough. I'm not sharing enough stuff. I'm not giving away enough of ideas and where are some of the other things I give away. I'm not giving away enough monoprice battery packs. I need to do that more. I'm not giving away enough copies of Keeping It Straight. I need to do that more. Just the other day I get in these moods where I just I like to just do kind of random, crazy things. Like, I tweeted about kind of productivity setup. I had my iPad, I had my Helvetta index cards, and I had I forget what else I had. And I tweeted this, and someone tweeted back to me, wow, jealous. And I followed them, sent them a DM, and said, send me your address. Send me your shipping address. I've got something for you. And he did. He emailed me his shipping address, and I had Aaron send him a pack of the Helvetica index cards. No reason, just because.
Yeah.
It may be to do more of that. To say, I'm just going to start giving away all sorts of stuff. I'm going to, just randomly select people and send them things. Not because I have all the money in the world, but just because I find it so much fun to make, to just give things to somebody random. To make their day.
Now, by the time that we come to next record, you will have finished.
Yes.
I'm sure there will be a great post on Manual Mac about it.
I hope so.
Can we get a final wrap-up?
Oh, yeah, totally. We should totally do that. And I'll probably be into my next experiment. I mean, because keep in mind, some of these, too, are also for my book.
Right? Yeah.
So this isn't the last of these kind of crazy week without experiments I'll be doing.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure as always, my friend.
As always.
All right. We'll talk later.
Cheers.